Greetings in Jesus, and welcome to Highways and Byways for August 2005, and a return to our normal format. Last month we put out a special Evolution versus Creation edition, and for our subscribers and regular listeners, I trust that you found the presentation worthwhile and maybe even a little helpful in dealing with the whole topic. Now, if you have an interest in the topic of evolution versus the intelligent design of creation and you missed this special edition, contact me through any of the ways listed on the front of this CD, and I'll be happy to send you out a free CD. Just remember to leave a mailing address if you call into the toll-free 24-hour voicemail line to request it. And speaking of that toll-free number, it's also there to receive your prayer requests. If you take the time to call in and ask for prayer on a matter, our intercessory prayer team will take the time to take your needs to the throne room of God in faith, believing God for His perfect will and solution to your concern. Now, for the sake of our first-time listeners, here's what's in store for you this month. Some excellent music from our growing list of independent artists and their music covering a wide range of styles and approaches to bringing a positive message of hope. We'll have a short thought by Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis, and we might hear from Pastors Hank and Mary Nuwola with a new road sign segment. There'll be some other odds and ends that find their way in from month to month. In between all of this, we'll have plenty of that music that I mentioned and a few end-time update reports that I've prepared on various subjects. Now, these are the kind of things that tend to relate to what Jesus said we could expect as the time of His return drew closer. These reports are usually a combination of news excerpts that don't always receive mass media attention, along with some commentary from yours truly. And who's yours truly? Well, this is your host and highway minister, Wyatt Timmons, and I'll be popping in and out here for the next 75 minutes or so. Well, all right, that's the short play and what's coming up. Right now, I think we'll spin our first song for the month. The artist that you're going to hear has a wonderful way of describing in song the ups and downs that we all experience in normal, everyday life while we try to work it all out in our walk with God. The artist is Jeffrey Todd, and the song is simply called Sometimes.
It's a matter of trust or a lack of faith. It makes me doubt the one thing that I know I'm sure of. I'm living my life, trying to live it right, trying to deny myself, but it all ends up in a fight. Sometimes I win, sometimes I quit. Sometimes this world just beats me up, and I hate to admit that I'm frail. I'm not gonna make it on my own. Hard to tell you how I feel, that I'm scared of one day failing. But I know you hold me in your hand. It's a matter of time, and I know that it's true. Makes me think about my life and all the things I want to do. I'm living for now, I'm not in my past. Sure, I've got some regrets, but I'm not afraid to get in the dance. Sometimes I win, sometimes I quit. Sometimes this world just beats me up, and I hate to admit that I'm frail. I'm not
I gonna make it on my own? Hard to tell you how I feel. That I'm scared one day dying. But I know that you hold me. Need you to hold me. I want you to hold me in your
Hi, looking for a new religion?
Yeah, I'm looking for something that adds more meaning to my life.
Well, you've come to the right place. Are you looking for a guru to follow or a philosophy?
Actually, I'm looking for a religion that fulfills the, the spiritual side of me.
This one is very popular with the Hollywood set.
Really?
And you know what authorities they are on religion.
No.
Ah, I see you are the discerning type.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's a god that's worthy of your worship.
Wow, that's nice. So are you allowed to eat meat?
No.
Oh.
Ah. I know exactly what you're looking for. How's this one?
That's exactly what I'm looking for.
That's what I said.
This is a god I can trust. This god always has my best in mind.
Of course he does.
I'd feel comfortable worshiping this god. I bet he'd even die for me.
Don't think so.
No, that doesn't make sense, does it? I'll take it.
That'll be $30 for the frame and $10 for the mirror.
Who do you worship? A message from Lifeline Productions, 1-800-523-8669, lifelinepro.com.
Hey, morning, hot stuff. How's business?
Great. Hey, how's things with you, huh?
Yeah, just fine. Hey, what you got for lunch?
Deviled ham. How about you, huh?
Me? I got deviled eggs. Hey, you see the schedule?
Yeah, I saw. Who'd you get?
Me? I got Norman Welch.
Norman Welch! Huh, Norman Welch, that's like a day off! Hey, what are you gonna do, huh?
I'd probably knock his coffee in his lap, you know, or nick him shaving. Something to put him in the mood to fight with his wife,
yeah.
Huh? I can usually get a good grip on him like that. Maybe I'll give him another flat on the freeway. Huh?
Oh, it sounds like you got a great day ahead. I wish we could train.
Why, who'd you get?
I got Joe Parker.
Joe Parker? Oh, boy, I tell you, I had him for a month one day last week.
That's not funny.
Yeah. You know, he spent the whole day talking about Jesus.
Yeah, he's even worse now. He started his own old Bible study.
Oh, you're kidding. How much damage has that done?
Plenty. He's been witnessing to his boss, and now his boss decided to accept Jesus. And not only that, but now his boss is witnessing to his daughter, and she's thinking of giving up dope.
No.
This could lead to some real problems. You think you could give me a hand, huh?
No way. One day with him was enough. Besides, I got a special project I'm working on for next week.
You know, maybe I get the supervisor to assign me a demon to help out.
Hey, speak of the devil, there he is now.
Balak, Beelzebub wants you to see in his office right away. What are you doing?
Oh, I got a seance scheduled for next week. I'm just working on some voices. Here, tell me what you think.
Hello, Jimmy. I'm your Uncle Ron. Things are just great over here.
Try it a little lower.
Yeah, all right. Hello, Jimmy. I'm your Uncle Ron.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
But what if they say I don't sound like him?
Tell him you got a cold.
What if they start asking a lot of questions?
Just tell him you gotta go somewhere.
All right, I'll keep working on it.
Okay, by the way, I never got your report on Betty Switzer. What happened?
Hey, I got her dating some non-Christian guy. Mm-hmm. She thinks she's gonna lead him to the Lord.
What makes you so sure she won't?
Oh, they never do. You taught me that.
Well, who's the guy?
Lance Stoker.
Good. He's been doing business with us for a long time.
And on top of that, I hid a Bible about 2 weeks ago, and he bothered to look for it.
Yeah, great. Can't do any damage without a sword. What happened to you?
Oh, boy.
I was supposed to watch Rod Bentley.
Oh, no.
I told you to keep him away from Wickenshield.
Yeah.
How's Beelzebub?
He's pretty upset, but he put me on UFO duty.
UFO duty?
Yeah, I'm supposed to paint myself with this light and fly around the world till Armageddon. Look at the bright side. That won't be too long now.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, things are sure getting tough lately.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it seems like you work your tail off night and day just to drag some poor sucker down, you know? And then how does he reward you? He goes and he gets saved.
Yeah, we get shafted!
Yeah, boy, I sure miss the good old days, you know, when you could find an astrologer or a palm reader or somebody you could really take it easy with.
Yeah, remember that old gypsy you used to have? Now those were some high times.
Yeah, it was fun, wasn't it? Hey, remember how excited he used to get when we would help him with his spells? I sure wish we could get us a transfer off to Africa or China or South America. You know, find a witch doctor, somebody we could all move into.
Hey, don't be foolish. There's plenty of things to do here. Drugs, booze, sex, celebrities. I wouldn't count on celebrities. No more.
I don't think we can count on nothing anymore. It's getting tougher and tougher every day, what with the Holy Spirit running amok and them Christians getting into everything. Boy, I sure hope this doesn't lead to a revival. That'd burn me up.
Yeah, me too. Hey, you guys, I'm surprised at you. What? How do you expect to do any damage with an attitude like that? May I remind you what our fearless leader once said? Behold, I stand at the door and pick the lock. Don't try to kick the door in, just pick the lock. Why try to freeze someone's faith when lukewarm's good enough to do it?
Yeah, well, I got Joe Parker!
Sure, Christians like Joe Parker are tough, and they can do a lot of damage, too. But you can't just stop them cold. You gotta turn them around slowly, little by little. You don't try to destroy them, just compromise them. Get their eyes off Jesus with anything.
Remember when the Apostle Peter was when we got him to deny you-know-who? Yeah, he was following from afar. Right. Just trick him into sliding away a little, you know, and you got him.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's probably why they call it backslide.
Yeah.
All demonic personnel report to Sector 042. Altar call now in progress.
Okay, come on. Let's get to work, then maybe afterwards we can have some angel food cake.
Went back to the town where I used to live in the days before I was born again. Past the tavern, then the liquor store, all the places I knew so well before. Memories of misery flooded my mind. I used to think that those were the good times. They called out to me, inviting me back. They didn't know my life was on a new track. Too many old devils think that we're still friends. They keep waiting for me to come back again. I'm not going back, my life is brand new. You'll see living proof that God's word is true. I knew I had found a place for my life upon solid ground. His kind of love, it can never fail. He proved it to me with a cross and three nails. Blessings keep falling into my hand. I'm living good, I'm a born again man. The devil's fishing, but I've been set free. I ain't biting on what he's offering me. Too many old devils think that we're still friends. They keep waiting for me to come back again. I'm not going back, my life is brand new. You'll see living proof that God's word is. Too many old devils think that we're still friends. They keep waiting for me. Come back again. I'm not going back. My life is brand new. You'll see living proof that God's word is true.
Coming up next, the first of two End Time Report potpourris for this month. These are collected news excerpts from events around the world. The purpose is to stir up your mind and your spirit and ask yourself how these things line up with our understanding of end time events. Often the connection is obvious. For instance, with a universal awareness of biblical claims concerning the mark of the beast and the world control that is associated with it, an update on current tracking or identification technology can easily be at the least an indication of a world heading in that direction. Other times you need to look at the bigger picture when other subjects are reported on. Last month, the only End Times update that I ran was a short segment about a few groups from both Canada and Australia that have been very busy finding ways to remove Jesus as a means to identify historical events. They're going about this by applying the term BCE in place of BC. That would be before Common Era instead of before Christ. And likewise, removing AD, which is Anno Domini, for the year of the Lord, and replacing that with the CE, meaning Common Era. Such a report falls under a more broad application of increased wickedness as we approach the end of the age before the return of Jesus. Our first report this month is a perfect example of just this type of increased wickedness. God speaks strongly and often concerning divination, sorcery, psychic reading, astrology, witchcraft, but it doesn't faze the world anymore to openly defy godly commands. Here's a look at the occult, operating with no apologies or shame in broad daylight. We start this End Time Report back in Australia with a report excerpt from the Australian paper, the Sydney Telegraph. Corporate America is turning to the occult in a bid to boost its bottom line, employing psychics and witches as alternative business consultants. Self-employed professionals, small business owners, and executives in major publicly listed companies are among those joining an expanding network of covens organized by businesswoman and self-described witch Stacy DeMarco. The former public relations manager turned pagan and author of There's a Witch in the Boardroom said that people are looking for new ways to combine spiritual values with their material success. She says there's a belief out there that you can't be spiritual and make money at the same time. Elsewhere, Sydney-based psychic and former lawyer Elena Fairchild is providing intuitive diagnostic sessions to large corporations focusing on personal issues. Charging up to $385 per hour, she uses intuition to detect problems or blockages within the organizational structure. And fellow psychic Sally DeBeck advises clients on major financial decisions based on holographic images of the business cycle. Nick Plavzik, who runs the Nest Furniture and Homewares Company, an importing business in Newtown, has been seeing Miss DeBeck for 10 years. He says, I wouldn't live or die by it, but in business you need every bit of information you can get. Ms. DeMarco's coven meetings cover commercial issues as well as spiritual questions and also provide networking opportunities. She dismissed comparisons with Freemasonry, arguing that covens are open to all, regardless of gender. However, like Freemasonry, coven members are reluctant to be identified, and their activities remain shrouded in mystery. We're quite secretive because of the misunderstanding about who we are and what we do, Ms. DeMarco said. No, Ms. DeMarco, there's no misunderstanding about who you are and what you're doing. In the past few years, she's helped establish three large covens in Sydney and runs workshops on business magic from her offices in North Sydney. Again, there's no question about who you are and what it is that you do. Friends, isn't it amazing if people will reject the most powerful entity in the world, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, God, and they will gravitate towards the second most powerful entity in the world and draw what powers they can from there instead. Here's two different stories that will tie in quite well with biometric identification efforts. The first speaks to the United States' failed efforts to control and identify people with their current system. And the second story shows where we're heading and how we're going to get there. First, a report by Alexandra Marks, a staff writer with the Christian Science Monitor. She says a U.S. passport is the gold standard for travelers as well as terrorists and international criminals. Almost 4 years after the September 11th terrorist attacks, a government investigation found that it's still possible for individuals on the terrorist watch list and wanted criminals to obtain a United States passport. That's prompted a new urgency on Capitol Hill to improve security and fraud detection at the State Department, as well as communications with the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security, which maintains a consolidated terrorist watch list. At the same time, controversy continues over the best way to create fraud-proof passports using new technology like biometric identifiers, iris scans, or fingerprints embedded into computer chips within the passport. Critics worry that such technological fixes would make passport holders walking targets internationally because they contend terrorists or others could use radio scanners to identify Americans in a crowd. This is posted by Kate Holton from Reuters. Britain's plans to launch the world's most ambitious biometric identity cards cleared their first hurdle on Tuesday, despite the first revolt against Prime Minister Tony Blair since his re-election. If accepted, this would be the first time Britons have created an ID card and had to carry it since they were abolished after World War II by the government of Winston Churchill. Critics say the cards are expensive, unnecessary, and intrusive, and they fear that they would eventually become compulsory. The cards would use biometric technology in fingerprint, face, and iris recognition. Neil Fisher, Director of Security and Intelligence at British technology group QinetiQ, says many other countries are watching the British progress. Nobody has ever undertaken an identity card system with this complexity before, using three biometrics. America in particular is watching us with close interest, he said. And I think if we go forward with this and we get it right, it will be a model for many people to follow. We'll round out this first end time potpourri with a little talk about a new world order, but not from the United States or Europe. No siree. Would you believe Russia and China? Well, from Moscow and Beijing comes the announcement of their intent to sign a declaration on world order. Chinese leader Hu Jintao will sign a joint declaration on world order in the 21st century, a spokesman for the Russian Foreign Ministry wrote in an article published in the government daily Rossiyskaya Gazeta on Wednesday. This is a crucial document that reflects the convergence of Russia and China's fundamental positions on key issues in a modern world order, our common view for the outlook of development of humankind, Alexander Yakovenko wrote. According to Yakovenko, the declaration will affirm the parties' commitment to forming a new, fair, and rational world order and to increasing the role of the United Nations in international politics. Russia and China will announce the unacceptability of monopolizing global affairs, dividing states into those who lead and those who are led, imposing models for social development from the outside, and applying double standards, he wrote. Well, my friend, between all of these update reports, I could comment until the end of the CD concerning how they all fit into the big picture of end-time events. But if you have even a small portion of discernment and a basic understanding of the prophetic words of Christ concerning end times, then you don't need me to connect the dots. I'll be back with more later. Here's Solemn Vow with a song called You Are My Hope.
Unshakable God. Repent or go to hell. Jesus loves you.
Hey, buddy, what's with the sign?
Well, why don't you just read it?
It says John 3:16. Hey, that's a Bible reference, ain't it?
Obey the Lord. Yes, it's a Bible reference. Jesus loves you.
Well, what does it say?
What?
What does John 3:16 say?
Look, I don't have time to explain it. I'm trying to preach to all these people. We're commanded of the Lord to tell the world the good news of the gospel. That's what I'm doing.
I'd sort of like to know what it's all about. I've had a lot of problems lately, and I...
Resist the devil. Look, pal, you're really becoming a distraction. Every second I stand here talking to you, I'm missing an opportunity to reach thousands. Why don't you just get lost?
Have it your way, then. I think religion is just one big disaster anyway.
Whew, I can finally get back to the mission field. Repent or go to hell. The end is near.
You gotta laugh. Brought to you by John and Fred. Visit our website at primeexample.com.
Down every road, there's a turn. Just remember that the road of God is straight. He will lead you through.
Welcome to Road Signs. In this segment, Pastor Hank takes note of a road sign you may have passed recently on your travels and draws godly instruction and Bible truths out of it. Here now is Pastor Hank.
Thanks, Mary. And that's right, it seems that the truth is all around us, in nature, in words, in the things people say and do and create. I've been doing this road sign segment for some time now, and I've been amazed at how much biblical truth can spring out of a simple sign right beside our roadway. Not too long ago, as we were passing through the state of Indiana, we saw along the turnpike, here and there, caution signs that were placed very close to the highway. They had yellow lights and the words read, "Animals present when flashing." I could see sensors of some kind at the base of the signs, looking like laser beam emitters. Apparently, when an animal broke the beam, the signs would flash for a period of time. I thought to myself, how wonderful! An intelligent sign. It didn't just warn a person of a hazard that might or might not be there, like bridge freezes before road surface or caution crosswinds next 2 miles, but it alerted the driver to a very real hazard, and only when the hazard was actually present. This is very much like the operation of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. When we are born again, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell our own spirits. And the Bible says we become alive to God, aware of His existence, His presence, and His voice. a genuine relationship is created between the Father and us who have become one of His children. John chapters 14 and 16 have a good bit to say about this helper, the paraclete, the one who stands closer than a brother to us. One of the amazing things about this relationship we have with God as His children is that the Holy Spirit will lead us into all the truth. He will also reveal to us things to come. And as a part of His revealing nature, He will also warn us of danger. Now, we have to be listening, friend. And a good way to begin is first to pray and ask the Lord to deliver us from evil and keep us from entering into temptation. That's a part of the Lord's Prayer, and that can be found in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13. So, we pray that way, "Dear Lord, deliver us from evil. Keep us from entering into temptation." And then a situation or a circumstance arises, or something around that bend in the road, and the Holy Spirit begins to warn us. At first, it may be nothing more than an unsettled feeling in our belly, a certain uneasiness, or it may become real distress in our bodies. It might even be words spoken by the Holy Spirit to our spirits. We don't hear those words with our physical ears, of course. It's our spiritual ones, and they are important words. We should obey what we're hearing, for the Holy Spirit is not warning us for no reason at all, but for a very good reason. He loves us, and there could be danger ahead. We could get hurt. So, friends, grab your Bibles, look up Matthew chapter 6, read the Lord's Prayer, and pray it aloud, asking the Lord to deliver you from evil. And then, when those warning signs begin to go off in your spirit, just like that animal's present when flashing sign, stop what you're doing and run from the danger. This is Hank Nuola for Road Signs.
Down every road, there's a turn in its place for us to choose. Just remember that the road of God is straight, and He will lead you through.
Well, this group calls themselves Blue 99, and the song is called Pour Out Your Spirit, Lord.
Pour out your spirit, Lord, on your people. Pour out your spirit, Lord, on your people. Pour out your spirit, Lord, on your people. Let it rain, let it rain. Your mercy, Lord, on your people. Pour out your mercy, Lord, on your people. Pour out your mercy, Lord, on your people. Let it rain, oh, let it rain.
Thank you. your spirit, Lord, all your people. Pour out your spirit, Lord, all your people. Pour out your spirit, Lord, all your people. Let it rain, oh, let it rain. Pour out your spirit, Lord, all your people. Pour out your spirit, Lord, all your people. Pour out your spirit, Lord, all your people. Let it rain.
Often we read the Bible or hear a sermon based on a biblical story or event. We have a problem relating to it in current terms. Perhaps not spiritually, but thinking of the same kind of thing taking place today is difficult because we've been conditioned to think that this stuff just doesn't happen anymore. Well, a few months ago I came across a short news article that really caught my attention. I intended to create a full segment and actually scripted it for recording to a CD. But as usual, I had to make the difficult choice of which end time reports to include and what ones would be set aside. I try not to make any one segment of Highways and Byways define who we are and what we're about. But this month, another story has popped up that causes me to recall the first one. Now, as I tell you about these two separate events in different parts of the world, see if you can recall a biblical account that relates to them. First, a report from the Ashkam newspaper out of Istanbul, Turkey. First, one sheep jumped to its death. Then, stunned Turkish shepherds, who had left the herd to graze while they had breakfast, watched as nearly 1,500 others followed, each leaping off the same cliff. Nevzat Beyan, a member of one of the 26 families whose sheep were grazing together in the herd, was quoted as saying, "There's nothing we can do. They're all wasted." Well, in the end, 450 animals lay dead on top of one another in a billowy white pile. Those who jumped later were saved as the pile got higher and the fall was more cushioned. Well, have you thought of the Bible story yet that lines up with this? Well, if you haven't, keep thinking with one part of your brain and listen to this next tidbit. From Scotland, a story about dog suicides. Yes, I said dog suicides. A rash of what appears to be canine suicides has animal psychologists in Scotland baffled. At least five dogs have thrown themselves off the historic bridge at Overton House in Dunbarton, Scotland. The bridge, which crosses over a 13-meter drop into a stream that runs underneath, is fast becoming known as Rover's Leap because of the lemming-like approach it seems to inspire in apparently well-adjusted family pets. Doreen Graham of the Scottish Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals had this to say. Dogs do not commit suicide. They have a strong, fight or flight response. The incidents at the bridge are of very great concern to us because we would like to understand why they're happening. Well, this is not the way that the new owners of the Overton House wanted to begin or be associated with, I'm sure. The building of Overton House took place in 1863 by a local chemicals tycoon. The new owners are renovating the property as a Christian hope and healing center. Joyce Stewart, a leading animal behaviorist and consultant to the Scottish Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, said that she had heard of situations where dogs knew they were dying and went into hiding, but had never heard of a dog committing suicide. She said the coincidence was spooky and called for an investigation of the deaths. There must be some rational explanation for it, she said. Well, actually, there is a rational explanation for all this, Miss Stewart. The first problem is, this is not a matter of animal behavior. The second problem for you may be that while you're studying in the area of animal behavior, you may need to brush up on your study of demonic behavior. Here's an audio clip from Mark chapter 5 that tells us about the biblical event that matches this, quote, animal behavior, unquote.
They came to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. When he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling in the tombs. Nobody could bind him anymore, not even with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Nobody had the strength to tame him. Always, night and day, in the tombs and in the mountains, he was crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and bowed down to him, and crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, you Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, don't torment me." For he said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." He asked him, "What is your name?" He said to him, "My name is Legion, for we are many." He begged him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was on the mountainside a great herd of pigs feeding. All the demons begged him, saying, "Send us into the pigs that we may enter into them." At once Jesus gave them permission. The unclean spirits came out and entered into the pigs. The herd of about 2,000 rushed down the steep bank into the sea, and they were drowned in the sea.
Well, I can't be certain what kind of spiritual activity and generational curses may be involved in the case of the sheep in the country of Turkey. But in this Rover's Leap matter, we have a little more to work with. We know that the new owners have dedicated the old estate for the purpose of hope and healing, the absolute antithesis of the destruction and hopelessness that Satan brings with him. We see these things in the actions of those who practice satanic worship and witchcraft, as well as those who are bound or simply oppressed by demons presently. Despair, depression, suicidal tendencies, these are common long-term effects of such spiritual activity and association. I don't think that it's any coincidence at all that five or more dogs have jumped off this bridge at Overton House. You see, it's a group of Christians who've taken over and dedicated this estate to hope and healing, and I'm confident that much prayer and faith have been applied to this outreach. Now, notice in the account from the Bible audio clip we just heard, the demons brought this man out to face Jesus first. In other words, just the approaching presence of the healing power and spiritual hope and restoration that Jesus brought with him was enough to make these demons tremble in the body that they were occupying. And this is a key. They were occupying a space that did not belong to them. Remember that Jesus told the disciples after his resurrection, Luke 24:39, "Behold my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." But demonic spirits need bodies in order to operate and carry out the will of their god, Satan. And what is that will? Well, again, it's the opposite of God's will for restoration, healing, and hope to mankind. Demons have the job of destruction, despair, hopelessness, and death to carry out. While humans have a will of their own to throw into the mix, an animal lacks the same ability to reason and resist. So the job of death and destruction can be carried out rather quickly. That's why the man was constantly cutting and hurting himself. That's why the pigs rushed to their death after Jesus cast them out of the demon-possessed man and allowed them to go into the pigs. So I'm thinking, that's why the sheep took the leap and Rover jumped over. So what's the conclusion to all this? Well, I could go down 100 different trails in conclusion, but I think I'll leave you with these two things. One, don't ever lose sight of the fact that the stories of events that we were given in God's Word are there for many reasons, including to help us understand what's going on around us right now. And number two, if you'll open your heart and eyes to the spiritual side, you'll begin to see so many current examples of actions that line up with biblical stories and godly principles that you may never look at another person's actions quite the same way again. Well, that's it for now. Keep looking up for His return. And oh yeah, you might want to keep your dog on a tight leash. Well, this is a mom and dad, sons and daughters band called Elijah's Request. And the song, You Pick Me Up.
You heard my cry. People, are they hiding from God?
Answers with Ken Ham, a well-known creation evangelist from Australia. Well, Ken, many evolutionists admit that there are problems with the theory of evolution, yet they're unwilling to even consider creation as an alternative. What's the reason why?
Well, let me tell you. After Adam had sinned, what was Adam and Eve's first response to God as he approached them in the Garden of Eden? Well, they hid. Why'd they do that? Because they felt guilty in his presence. They were ashamed of themselves in the presence of a perfect and holy God. And you know, man has been trying to hide from God ever since. When you think about it, evolution is a very effective way to hide from the Creator. Evolution teaches people there's no God. If they choose to believe this, then they don't have to face Him. By not facing God in their unbelief, they're hiding from Him, just as Adam and Eve tried to do in the garden. You see, this is one of the reasons why humanists don't even want the possibility of creation permitted in public schools. To allow this is to open the door to showing these young people that they need to face up to the God against whom they've sinned and have been hiding from.
Well, Ken, do you think that children, even from Christian homes, should be taught evolution?
My answer is a very definite yes. Let me explain. Sadly, I've had some Christian parents tell me that their children were only going to be taught about creation and hear nothing about evolution. But they're wrong. You see, my children know more about evolution than most evolutionists. We've nothing to be worried about if we teach our children the truth about evolution. In fact, it's imperative that they learn it. Children need to be taught that evolution has no basis in science, that there are no facts that support it, and that it's actually an evil philosophy. The men who popularized evolution wanted to stop people from believing the God of creation. You know, the more our children know about evolution, the more they'll see that it has no basis in truth whatsoever. We must obey the scriptures and teach our children to distinguish good from evil, as the book of Hebrews tells us. And to do this, we must train them in the truth of creation and teach them the fallacies of evolution.
How can we teach young people that dinosaurs don't fit with evolution, but are explained by the Bible? Read Ken Ham's fascinating booklet, Dinosaurs and the Bible, to find out. For your free copy, call 1-800-950-9507. That's a toll-free number to Answers in Genesis at 1-800-950-9507.
As I gathered up the material for this month's Highways and Byways, I came across so many stories and incidents that just prove how nutty and wicked and dark this world is becoming. Absolutely bonkers. There's no way I could post them all on this CD and still have a variety of things going on. So I've whittled these down as much as I can, but here's one you simply have to hear. There's a publisher who's released what they call a new edition of the Gospels. It identifies Christ as a woman named Judith Christ of Nazareth. Now, Billy Shakespeare is the vice president for the publisher, and he said that this has been a long-awaited revised text of the Gospels that takes a moral message of Christ and makes it more accessible to many, more illuminating to all, he says. It's empowering. We published this new Bible to acknowledge the rise of women in society. Now, let me reread this part, because it's just not connecting for me. We published this new Bible to acknowledge the rise of women in society? I just don't see the connection. You changed and altered, added to and took away from the Holy Word of God in order to honor women? It just doesn't make sense. Well, according to the publisher, this new version revises familiar stories, such as the prodigal son, and turns it into the prodigal daughter, and the Lord's Prayer into the Lady's Prayer. Well, here's a few excerpts from their corrections. For example, Luke chapter 2. And Joseph went to Bethlehem to be enrolled with Mary, his wife, who was then pregnant. And she brought forth her firstborn child, and her name was chosen to be Judith. And then a passage on the crucifixion from John 19. Now it reads, and she, bearing her cross, went forth. And there they crucified Judith. And here's a resurrection passage from Matthew 28. And it states, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. But the angel said to the women, Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Judith, who was crucified. She is not here, for she is risen. Well, the book's foreword says that Jefferson's Bible is faithfully followed by the present book, with the corrections in the name and the gender of Christ and the gender of God and some of the parables. Now, Jefferson's edited Bible used extracts from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, rather than the complete books, in order to tell a linear or complete organized story that emphasizes the moral teachings of Christ. I am constantly amazed at what people will try to do with simple words. Here he says that the basic narrative of Christ's life, death, and resurrection are maintained. My friend, you haven't maintained anything. You've ignored the historical fact that a man named Jesus of Nazareth was born and existed, was crucified. You ignore the fact that he was called the Son of God by many. What it is a complete betrayal of the Word of God. And speaking of betrayal, consider this. There is no feminine form of the name Jesus or Joshua. Judith is the feminine form of the name Judas. How perfectly fitting. Well, a question has come in a few times now about how do I do what I'm doing here with this Highways and Byways CD? How does it get produced and come together? You know, I work on this production in the evenings after my route is done. Most days after I've settled into whatever hotel room I'm going to be in for the night. That accounts for the difference in the sound of my voice from time to time and the overall quality or lack thereof of the audio. I never set out to have a particular theme as a rule. It happens from time to time. Things just seem to come together over the course of the month, and finally I come home, go over to my humble little studio office and start duplicating. I'll print out the CD labels and start the process of stomping them onto each CD and putting them into their little CD shells. From there, 40 or 50 a month travel with me on the road all month as I put them in places, much like folks will leave off those little Bible tracks that you see. But the lion's share wind up in several places over at the Petro truck stop in Milton, PA. Some at the entrance to the fuel desk, some over at the counter outside the TV room, and Chaplain Chris makes sure that everyone who comes in to visit her Little Grace Chapel there on the premises gets a CD before they leave. Frankly, I distribute around 200 a month for the truck stop, and they run out in 7 to 10 days from the time that I drop them off there. I'd love to increase the number of CDs that I'm able to give away each month there and elsewhere. We're funding as many of them as we can possibly give away ourselves. If you'd like to sponsor a truck stop that you can visit each month and distribute the CDs, or sponsor one of the truck stops that I can get to on my route each month, I have a at-cost bulk price for you, and if you'll contact me, I'll answer your questions and explain how you can become a highway minister too as you partner with us in this effort. If you want to be involved but you can't commit to a bulk number, here's an idea. Become a subscriber to Highways and Byways. Here's how it works. Our subscription runs 1 year long, starting in January. If you subscribed at the halfway point of the year, you'd need to subscribe again when we get close to the end of the year in order for me to know you're still enjoying this outreach production enough to sign up again. Of course, the subscription donation suggestion that I'm going to tell you about next would be prorated based upon what month you jumped in. We don't have an official charge since we're truly a nonprofit organization, so we ask you to consider a whopping $3 per month as a donation to House of Prayer Ministries, which is the parent ministry of Highways and Byways. Most folks send in the total donation in one shot, so a full year would be $36. Now, I say some version of this little subscription offering each month, so all of you regular listeners can follow the bouncing ball now and say this next part with me. That $3 a month donation will not only get a copy of Highways and Byways sent to your address, you'll also be sponsoring 2 free CDs each month that are given freely, either at the Petro truck stop in Milton, PA, or in a hotel room somewhere in the 5-state region that my weekly delivery route takes me. Well, I suspect that you regular listeners were able to repeat with me, if not word for word, certainly close enough to show that you know what we do with that $3 a month. And by the way, if you let me know you just can't afford the subscription donation, I'll send it out to you just the same, just as long as funding allows it. The goal of this ministry has never been about raising money, and we're self-supported along with a few faithful friends who believe in what we're doing. The only reason I mention money at all is in order to make more CDs and give more of them away. If you're a business owner and you'd like to donate, we'd certainly give you credits each month on the CD and send along a tax-deductible receipt upon request. Well, I really don't like taking CD time up to talk about all these things. However, it is a necessity. Well, we're through with all that now. We can get on with saying so long with a few closing thoughts and a final song for the month. All of that's coming up next. Well, I want to sign off this month with a short passage that has a warning, a challenge, and a word of encouragement, all wrapped up in just a few short lines. We all have those battles of the flesh to fight, and the imps of hell do their best, or worse as the case may be, to make life pretty much a miserable event if they can. As I said in an earlier segment, it's their job to do the devil's bidding. So we all have trials, temptations, and sufferings to endure because this world is not heaven, it's earth. Well, here's our passage of warning, challenge, and encouragement from 1 Peter 5:8 through 11. Keep your mind clear and be alert. Your opponent, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion as he looks for someone to devour. Be firm in the faith and resist him, knowing that other believers throughout the world are going through the same kind of suffering. God, who shows you his kindness and who has called you through Christ Jesus to his eternal glory, will restore you, strengthen you, make you strong, and support you as you suffer for a while. Power belongs to him forever. Amen. Well, I'm not going to pretend to bring a new revelation concerning this passage, and I'm not going to preach a full-length sermon here. Just a simple reminder of the way it is. First, that serpent, the devil, roams about as a roaring lion. Mind you, he's not a lion. He's a wannabe lion. The only real lion is the lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But the devil runs around trying to do what he's been kicked out of heaven for in the first place, and that was trying to be like God. In fact, trying to be God himself. So remember that when the devil opens his mouth to roar out at you, for whatever reason, whether he's trying to intimidate you into hiding your faith in Jesus, or attempting to roar out, condemning you because once again you've totally screwed up and you've sinned, take a good look into the mouth of that old lion imposter and you'll notice that he has no teeth. I like to think that when we read in Genesis about Jesus stepping on the head of that old serpent, that the devil's teeth must have just popped right out of his mouth then and there. Stepping on the head of the serpent also cuts off the flow of venom. So do what the next verse tells you to do. Be firm, resist the devil, and God, who shows you his kindness and who has called you through Christ Jesus to his eternal glory, will restore you, strengthen you, make you strong, and support you. How do we know that God is able? Verse 11 tells me, power belongs to him forever. Amen. The warning, don't let the devil fool you into thinking he's anything but a liar. He has been from the beginning. The challenge, resist the devil and trust God. And finally, the encouragement. If you're in Christ Jesus, God will restore you, strengthen you, make you strong, and support you. If you're not certain what it means to be in Christ Jesus, here's what you need to know to get started. You're a sinner. No judgment here from me, my friend. I'm a sinner too. But acknowledging our sinful nature is where we begin. Next, you exercise just a little bit of faith. About the size of a mustard seed will do. You have a little talk with God. Invite Jesus to cleanse your soul and forgive your sins. Whatever else you say, let your words include that you believe that the blood Jesus spilled out on the cross that he was nailed to has the power to cover your sinful nature. Now, I'm not asking you to say anything that isn't true. Faith must be applied, and only you can do that. That little speck of faith, by the way, in the power of the blood of Jesus, is the very thing that the devil's defeated by. A new born-again child of God has exactly the same amount of power, authority, and forgiveness through the work of Jesus Christ as someone who's been walking with the Lord for many, many years. So then, after inviting Jesus into your heart of hearts, you can resist the devil and trust God. If you're in Christ Jesus, God will restore you, strengthen you, make you strong, and support you. Till next month, my friend, may mercy angels clear the paths that you travel down. And somewhere along the way, how about committing a random act of kindness?
How many want to talk to God today? Can I hear an amen?
Is not the way, but every problem has an answer, and if yours you cannot find, you should talk it over to him. He'll give you peace of mind. When you feel your life too hard, go and have a talk with God. Many of us feel we walk alone without
talking about.
I know, I love my dad, but see, we grew up poor. You can be poor, but you can't be poor and cheap, right? Like, that's like oil and water. What is that? Halloween would come around, my dad would never open, like, he'd all his life was shut. let him fight it. Some kids won't quit. He come on, you have no candy. You're like an avocado, you know. The LA Times. I don't know how to read. On my birthday, July 4th, I'll show you how cheap my dad is. July 4th, I wanted firecrackers, right? He would give, instead of firecrackers, my dad would give me, listen to this, a road flare. You know when there's an accident, that I'm in the front line. There's cars slowing down. What happened? What happened? I said, Papi, I want the kind of light up in the sky. All the kind in the sky, but here, throw it in there. There you go. Yeah. Hold on. Last week I had Michael Jordan. We had a chihuahua. Talk about it. Isn't that messed up? I mean, just think about it. And then they have something called the gordita. You know, people don't know. In Spanish, that means what? Chubby girl, huh? There's people that don't know Spanish going through Taco Bell. Chubby girl, please. Right? And now they have the Baja Gordita, right? Or short chubby girl. You women, girlfriends, you give us so much trouble, ladies. You get us nervous. You always say we never listen. We listen the way that you tell us. It is. If you were to get us by the shoulder, look at us in our eyes, but tomorrow we're going to go see my mother. We wouldn't forget, but you don't do that. You wait till we're watching our game. Right? We're all into it, and you run through the room tomorrow to my mother. Right? Then the next day, oh, no, I'm a liar. I'm a liar. Don't get jealous. Huh? When a woman gets jealous, forget about it, huh? Don't get jealous for anything sometimes. You're watching TV, there's a commercial, right? There's a model on the commercial. That's when they come in the room when the model's there. Is that what you like? How you like that? No, don't change it. Don't change it, David. I'm going to be your host for this evening. My name is Carlos Oscar. We're going to get the show rolling.
Hey, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
I got to show your little daughter back. What a cutie. How old is she?
She's 2.5 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah.
And I bought her a computer. You know the most high-tech thing I ever had? Do you remember that game Operation? You could have a heart attack. Remember that? The rubber band. I would have been a doctor if it wasn't for that game, I'm telling you.
How long have you been married now?
I've been married for over 3 years, and this woman...
And your daughter is 2.5?
The math is right.
Just doing the math.
I don't even see watch football on Sundays. I'm always at the mall with her.
Yeah.
Monday morning comes around, all the guys are talking about the football scores. I'm like, there's a sale at Nordstrom's. I can't say anything.
Hey, are you looking forward to the holidays now? Is this a big time for you at your house?
Let me tell you, family is so important to Latinos.
Yeah.
Too much almost.
Yeah.
I mean, family. Yeah, I can prove it to you. Go to a convalescent home. You don't see any old Latinos in there. Because we keep them. And some of them live forever, so, you got to deal with it. I got uncles that fought at the Alamo, believe me.
Yeah. I'm not going to ask which side. Do you get relatives over for dinner? Is that the big thing? Do they come over every Sunday? Yeah.
They come over, and I just have to deal with all the aspects of it. I got one of my cousin-in-laws who's way into that whole hip-hop look.
Yeah.
He wears the baggy pants. Have you seen the kids with the baggy pants?
Right.
He looks like a blob of fabric walking down the street. He's got a size 30-inch waist. He buys 52-inch pants. There's like fat guys at the store. Hey, man, where's my size? What happened?